So today is November 8th of 2021. This is the Sun Teleclass series, and we have the privilege of having Javier Sanchez be our facilitator. You might recognize him because he was the meditation master at our retreat. Live-in event, whatever it's called. And the topic obviously intrigues you all, and it is our brain's three emotion regulation systems. I'm going to let Javier introduce himself. And please, welcome.
Thank you, Terry, and good morning, good afternoon, everyone. Just a very brief introduction of myself. I've been working 25 plus years in the corporate world. And in the past, I don't know, 7-8 years, I was in contact with mindfulness. I encountered mindfulness, and over time, it transformed my life for the good. So ever since, I have been digging deeper and deeper into that, and eventually, I joined forces with my wife, who's a therapist. And we founded a boutique mindfulness agency, as we call it, in which we support people on that journey. And in parallel, I found that all the coaching experience and competences, and specifically with Sun, was resonated a lot, because it was very much alike in terms of creating some space and awareness from the place of presence. So that led to me to start the training with Terry, and I am very honored that they came and not just graduated. So here we are. I wanted to share, when discussing with Terry some months ago about this, I wanted to share with you like a theory that is very helpful for people, for all of us, to create some deeper and broader awareness on how we are in every precise moment in terms of our emotion regulation system. And that, I will introduce the theory and the creator, because I'm just passing that information. So my proposal is, we will split this space, this hour that we have, in three. We first will be spending some minutes going through the theory, right? And from there, please interrupt me anytime. It's important that the concepts themselves are clear. And then the second portion will be, which I think it's the more valuable one, is taking that theory into practice, into our own experience. And for that, I will be asking you to have at hand a piece of paper and a pencil or a pen, because I will be asking you to draw some things and to take some notes of the experience that we have. And after that, on the third portion, will be like a round of comments and reflections about your experience with this theory, putting this theory into reality. And just to end and to start the presentation, I believe that this tool can be very, very helpful with our clients, the coaching clients, because through this, we can help them to better understand where they are in terms of their emotional regulations at each time. And it's a very powerful tool for everyone to have at hand, to know about it and to do some kind of check-in as we will see. So, with no further introduction, if you're okay, I will start, and please let me know if you can see my screen. Is that a check? Okay, so let me start by honoring the creator of this theory. It's Paul Gilbert, a clinical psychologist from Britain, and his he's quite famous because he's the founder of what it's called the compassion focused therapy, which is like an evolution or a mixture between the traditional therapy theories and a more mindfulness and especially compassionate approach, which CFT, the compassion focused therapy, is getting a lot of momentum nowadays. So just for you to have, to know where this theory comes from. And I'm putting here some references that any one of you can access if needed, or if, I don't know, afterwards, of course, I will be reachable in case anyone has any comment or will want to go deeper in this. So for that, let me start describing one fundamental notion to understand the theory, which is that our brain, that by the way, it's capable of creating great things. I mean, it's capable of dreaming, of visioning, of composing music and art and many, many other things, is at the same time capable of creating quite suffering things. Because our brain has this tendency to go around from the past, to oscillate from the past and worries and bad memories, and going to the future with some plannings that might come with some anxiety, etc. So one fundamental thing in this second part is that our brain doesn't distinguish. So our brain is wired to be very focused on one thing, and it's a very evolutionary thing, which is our brain is all the time scanning if our current experience might be a threat for us, for our survival. And with that, I found a very interesting fact is that our brain can tell the difference if a threat is internal or external, right? So we tend to feel the same thing for an outer danger that from an inner danger. And when we feel that it's a threat, of course, our sympathetic nervous system gets triggered, gets activated, and we start getting this response of fight, flight, or freeze, and with some hormones, right? So this is like the fundamental process of our brain that it's scanning all the time, whether we notice it or not. It every time is there. So the theory, as you will see, is based on this notion that at any given time, both our sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous systems are all the time trying to process the information in terms of whether it's what we have in front is a threat or not, right? So with this fundamental, notion, as we say, this is the core of the theory, which Paul Gilbert offers us, that says that we have three key emotion regulation systems, and that's why this teleclass is named after. So we have the drive system, the threat system, and the soothing or calm system. And it's very interesting that Paul Gilbert assigned a color for each. And this is a very helpful thing for us because it can be very easily tagged afterwards. So let me start by going deeper into the red system, the threat system. This is the one that activates anger, some anxiety, fear, self-criticism. It's the most powerful of these systems because our survival depends on it. And one thing that is important is, as it is one of the most powerful, it overstates, it takes more than its fair share of our energy. A lot of our energy, and again, whether we are conscious or not, it's taken by this system that it all the time is scanning our environment, trying to figure it out if what we have in front is a threat or not. It's always scanning. And it's, as we were saying, the intent, the purpose of it, it's keeping us safe. here you have the amygdala. I mean, in terms of anatomy and hormones involved, it's the amygdala, the cortisol, and adrenaline. So the question here is red this system bad? Of course not. I mean, it's there for a reason. It's there with the purpose of keeping us safe. And it's very important because this system is the one responsible for us to put some limits of things. We have to keep safe. For example, if I'm crossing the street, I have to have this system activated somehow for me to understand that I better look first on the traffic light to see if it's red or it's green, right? I mean, before crossing the street. So that taking care of, I mean, self-care impulse, it's activated through it. So it's very useful. And also setting limits of what it's good for us or not in terms of not only a physical situation, but also a relationship or even a job, anything. So the red system helps us to put in those limits. Though, gone wrong or in an unbalanced way, it can be extremely activated by things, by perceived threats that are within us, internal threats. So anything that has to do with potential scenarios or anxiety or anything like that also activates all that this system. So please interrupt me if you have any question or comment on this. So this system triggers what we call the negativity bias, better known with this better safe than sorry, that I might think that has a translation in every language. In Spanish they are. And for that, just to make it more easily understandable, I bring this quote by Greg Hanson that says that we are Velcro for the negative and Teflon for the positive. And that comes, as we were saying, because this system is there to keep us safe, and it's a very powerful one. So we will always tend to see things in a more negative way than in a positive way. This is evolutionary. And that's why we are, as it says here, we are better and faster to respond and detect unpleasant than pleasant emotions. And for example, so when we see a neutral gesture in someone, we most probably will be biased to think that it's bad. So how was the meeting? No, it was bad. So you were told something bad? No. I mean, if that is scanning that perception of neutrality, we tend to take it to bad. Again, this is evolutionary. And because in evolutionary terms, when we were walking on the forest or on the jungle, I mean, thousands of years ago, it was better for us to believe that a stick was a snake than thinking that a snake was a stick, right? I mean, that's the reason of the negativity bias. So the thing is that as years have come by, and in our modern society, as our brain cannot tell the difference between inner and outer, we tend to create a lot of very powerful, very credible scenarios of what might come. And this is a beautiful quote, no, by Michel de Montaigne that says, "My life has been full of terrible misfortunes, most of which never happened." And that's the way we work, because we are wired that way. We have this negativity bias wired in. And what it's important is that in this terrible misfortune series of this life, our red motion system was overactivated all the time because we were like trying to keep us safe of inner threats that most probably might not come into our reality. So I have it here. I will skip it because I want to do this experience together, I'm sorry. So what can we do to compensate the negativity bias? And here, I mean, from presence, from awareness, we can cultivate what might be called the positivity bias. Some things is look for the good news as well. I mean, we all know that if we turn on the TV or just, I mean, log in into a news site or anything, most likely everything that we'll see will be negative. Will be crisis, will be, you know, bad things. But they're also there. It's harder to find, but there are good news too. So just a habit on looking for good news help us to balance that, to cultivate the positivity bias. Taking the good of the life, no? I mean, and everything that has to do with gratitude, with helping others, etc., help us to balance and to cultivate that positivity bias. So I will stop here just to see if anyone has any comment, any reaction to it. And if no, we will keep on going. Yes?
Javier, do you know the studies by Richard Boyatzis?
No.
Because he talks about a negative emotional attractor and a positive emotional attractor. And it's also, he has applied to coaching all his knowledge and his research. And at the beginning, you were talking about sympathetic and parasympathetic.
Mm-hmm.
And in classical psychology, the threat is related to sympathetic. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Is there any relationship between sympathetic and parasympathetic in terms of behavior after feeling a threat?
Yeah, the parasympathetic, as we will now see, the and I'm skipping ahead, but the green system is the one that activates the parasympathetic. And that's a way that helps us to compensate that. So let me go a little bit further, and that might be explained by the brain itself. So that was the red system, right? The threat. Then we have the blue one, which is the one that drives us to pursue, to go after certain goals, etc., etc. So it's goal directed. The purpose is for us to getting things done. And in the nature world, this can be seen like a spider building a web, or a bird building a nest, right? And that one characteristic of this is that it narrows our attention to focus on something because we are, I mean, driven to do that. In the human world, modern society, this might look like aiming and pursuing success, status, money, social media likes, etc., right? So as in the red system, drive is not good or bad by itself, because we need drive so we can move ahead and we can pursue things that are meaningful to us in life. In the extreme of non-activated, the blue system, you get depression because we have a lack of this drive to pursue things. And on the other extreme, if it's overactivated, it can lead us to even some addictions, because it's just the pursuit for something that it's not there. Again, we can be using the drive system to go after meaningful things for us, for our life, or just things to compensate some lack of security, etc. So again, there's no good or bad. The thing is to know what kind of activation it's needed for each moment. And because it's very powerful. I mean, that is the source of achievement and getting more capability and learning and beautiful things, right? So it's a spectrum, it's not good or bad. It depends on what we're pursuing. And I just a brief example for this. If I am in the middle of an intellectual task that I have to get the job done, I better have the drive system somewhat activated, because I need a drive to pursue and to take that to an end, to a good end. But if I am in a Sunday morning drinking my coffee, this might not be very helpful, because what I want is to relax at that point of time, not to enjoy my coffee. So in that particular example, if I am overactivated, the drive one is the one that will be driving me, and sorry for the word, to just, I mean, scrolling in social media, trying to do things, to start planning the week ahead, etc., and not letting me to relax. So this is the system. And these two, it's very common that they act together, because drive, if we believe there's a threat, we are motivated to change our situation. So the drive system activates itself, which in essence is not bad. The thing is that if the threat is anxiety or it's an internal threat, internal danger, the drive might be on pursuing just to get more and more and more of something that might not be like meaningful to me. And if I don't get this, I can feel it like a threat. So I can respond like with self-criticism that takes me to drive again. So this is the drive. This is something that it's good for us to observe that cycle, that vicious cycle might be happening to us in any given time. So the interesting question is here is, what my real intention when I am striving to do some things, and as we will see in the practice.
So it also can lock you on a state of constant pressure and stress.
Yes. And Irene, as the drive system makes, I mean, us to generate dopamine, and dopamine is a very powerful thing, we might get caught in that. Because it's our brains again are wired to react to that dopamine, and it's interesting that dopamine can be generated by goals that we set for ourselves. So if I believe that in order to be someone, I'm just creating an example, I have to pursue some things, all my resources will be focusing on that. And most likely, as in life, not everything goes well. That might not be happening as I am thinking that will happen. So I perceive that as a threat. So again, this can become problematic. It's not bad in itself. Again, it can become problematic if we are not aware that we are caught in that cycle. Okay? So that was for the blue one. Then the third and last system. The green one, the soothing. So this, as we were saying with Alfonso, this activates, in other words, this deactivates us. And that's performed by activating our parasympathetic system. Yeah? So it's not only for safetiness feeling, or for us to feel safe and calm, but also is our like system that it's capable of generating the sensations of caregiving, of receiving, of nurturing, right? So it's not only in terms of soothing, but also in terms of connection. Is the system that help us to reach out and to connect with ourselves and with others, with meaningful people. So motivation is to rest and digest, I mean, to deactivate the body slightly, right? When we have to, and to connect with anyone's. And this is the one, when we are caught in this cycle, the soothing system gets like neglected. That's why it's here in this picture is in gray. Because we are caught in the cycle and we kind of biologically forget that we have to balance it with a soothing system. So, as in the red and in the green, in the blue system, not only, I mean, it's not bad or good, it's not over-activated or under-regulated, or over or under-regulated by itself what matters. What matters is to have a balance responsive for each situation. So we want a regulated, responsive, because it's taking care of myself, but not hyper-alarmist red system. I want a healthy blue, hopefully aligned to what really matters to us, aligned with our values, with our purpose. And a green, activated much of the time. But for that, as we have this bias and this tendency to get caught in between the red and the blue, we have to cultivate it so we can have this balance. And that's what we call the emotional check-in. So just to take a moment to reflect and to see where we are in each. So that was the piece of theory just introduced to the systems. Any other comments before we go to the second section of taking this and experience it within ourselves? Okay, so I invite you to have your piece of paper and pencil or pen at hand. And the invitation is that we take like a usual meditation posture or at least an attentive posture. If it's possible and you feel it like that, to close our eyes. And just, we will spend some moments just allowing our minds to calm slightly and to get embodied again, to gather the mind, to start connecting with the bodily sensations, and just to let all these concepts and words and thoughts to sink in, to wherever they have to sink in. And so, from this presence and consciousness place, the invitation is that we try to connect with our red system now, remembering that that's the one that it's all the time scanning the experience to see whether it's a threat or not, and trying to identify how activated it is now, that system it is at this moment. And try to investigate what triggers that red system for each of us. What elements, what frequent thoughts or patterns leads to this red system to be activated? Trying to identify if that activation, that perceived threat, is real or is just in our head. I'm trying to see if that level of activation is the right one that I need at this precise moment, or it's overactivated or underactivated. Figuring out, what can I do? What can we do to help us regulate better the system? Getting in touch with it. So I invite you to slowly open your eyes and to take a piece of paper and to draw your system. It might be a small circle or a big circle, depending on the activation level that we perceive that is happening for us at this particular moment. And any insight that you might, that it might pop up in our minds in terms of what usually triggers us, trigger that system in us. What recurrent thoughts, patterns, or perceived threats, anything that it can be useful for us to get more in contact with that system, to recognize it easier, trying to understand it. What are those threats I am running after all the time? So, writing down anything that has come to your mind that you feel valuable. And then, whenever you are ready, we will repeat the process. We will take our usual posture, to close our eyes and to let the moment for our blue, the drive system, trying to recognize it, to identify that motivations, the drive, the impulses that are there, like getting in touch with that system. And starting with noticing how activated the system is at this particular time. If we are like very driven to pursue, to know things, well, on the contrary, that the system is not activated at all or underactivated. Recognizing again, the same way that we deal with the red system, what are my usual triggers for this blue drive system? What helps me to regulate, to activate or deactivate the system? Getting in touch with our intentions at this particular time. What are we trying to achieve at this moment? And as we discussed, this might be a good time also to integrate or to notice the interrelationship between the red system, the threat system, and this blue drive system. Is that I am trying to achieve coming from a perceived threat? What's the origin of my drive, of my intentions? And slowly opening our eyes, if you feel it like that, you feel it, it's time. Now, on our piece of paper, drawing our blue system in a size that keeps relationship with the red one, meaning in the same scale, whether it's overactivated in terms of the red one or not, how big, how small that circle would be. I'm writing down everything that has come up to our minds. What's the driving force motivating me to achieve things? How my red and my blue connect, how they interconnect. What part of blue drives an activation of my red and vice versa. And lastly, we will repeat the exercise, getting again in touch with our body, trying to point inwards. And allowing us to notice our calm, our green system. How activated is it? Do I feel the sense of calmness, of connection, or not that so? This is a good moment to start integrating the three systems. So if I am not feeling calm, what I am feeling now? A motivation to act, to do? Or just a thought of keeping me safe? But there is a threat there that I am not doing this exercise, but what might come afterward, after the teleclass? How is the relationship between my three circles now? Very importantly, what resources do I have that can help me to get more often in contact with my circles and try to balance them? Balance them for each precise situation. Right now we are in this teleclass. So what's the balance, the correct balance for me at this point? That might be different if we are stuck in traffic or if we're giving a presentation. What is the kind of balance, the right one, to connect with our clients? To be calm enough, to be open and present, helping with certain drive to help them to support in their own self-awareness process, but also aware of anything that we can notice in them that can harm the process, or what is that balance? What resources do I have or do I need to take better care of my three systems, of the balance between my three systems? And if we haven't done so, we can open our eyes and to draw in that piece of paper whatever came into our minds in terms of the relationship between the activations of our three circles. Perhaps noticing what triggers one and not the other. Knowing that the better we are in touch with our systems, the better we will be to help our clients to get in touch with theirs. So this very brief practice that we just did, I mean, we call it the emotional check-in, And it's just like to pause and look within, but with very specific and focused view in terms of noticing how are we in terms of emotional systems activation. So when we are perceiving a threat, for example, we can just pause for a moment and try to scan if the threat is real or how real is the threat, and whether my red system is regulation, I mean activation, is the right one for that particular moment, or my drive, my blue one. And if not, trying to connect with whatever resources that can help my green one to be more activated, so we regain balance. And just allowing one more minute so we can open the forum just for reflections and anything. So to open that, to open the mic, anything that from your own experience, any insights that you may want to share with the group. I sense a general activation of the green one.
Well, I want to thank you. I think it's a very clear, understandable model, and I think we can work with it. You know, it's very helpful. For me, it was a bit more. It was a bit fast the check-in because I have to run from one thing to another, so I didn't have enough time to integrate. And I think something that could have helped me that is if you were asking us to check something concrete that we are dealing with, or some challenge or something that we are facing, so I wouldn't have to skim. Generally, where I am, I was like trying to see some trigger or something that I'm engaged with, and then it would be easier, you know, to look at it in a concrete way and not just generally in life. But very nice, very beautiful, and I would like to see if we can share the slide. It would be wonderful.
Yes, I can share it, of course. And yes, we were very time pressed. We have 10 minutes to finish, and but as per your comment here, as we start getting more in touch with them, I mean from our own experience, it's easier to start recognizing it. So as we practice it, because we can practice it as a meditation, in fact, I mean, just can we sit down half an hour by ourselves and just start scanning and start going through each of the three circles, three systems. So. And with our clients, we also can help them to dig deeper in specific things. Because if we are working in specific topics with them at any given time, we can narrow this or very focus a lot on specific things. Because yes, this was a very first introductory general thing, but the sky's the limit, because our inner consciousness is the limit, which is infinite.
I would join Eran in the same observation about speed, but so I would need more time to think about those things. But what I could see, and I took just one, I didn't take patterns and all that because that needs more work. But what I did take is I took one event or one feeling that was jumping up and signaling some kind of threat. And when I went and tried to work through the systems with it, I could see that the red one is big, the blue one is little, and the green one is small, too small right now. So, so where I need to work, it's obvious in this regard.
And thank you. May I ask you a question?
Yes, please.
From your experience, even if it was quick and very general, what's the relationship between your red and your blue?
That's a book. That's a book. But my relationship is that my red kicks in and shoots to the sky the blue one.
That's so my reaction.
Yeah. What?
No. Sorry. I didn't want to interrupt.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No. That is one possibility, and it's very interesting. Thank you for sharing, Hashim. That sometimes, when we perceive threats and our red gets activated, we start striving. We start doing. For other people, it's the other way around. Threat drives paralysis. The fight, flight, or freeze activates more the freeze one, right? So many people don't do because they're very afraid. Other people do a lot when they are afraid. And that, so just knowing that puts you in a different like level to keep on working on the knowledge of ourselves. That's Alfonso.
Thank you, Javier, for your presentation. You were talking about a possible application as a tool in coaching meetings. I have two questions. The first one is there any difference if you start with thread or drive or soothe? If you start the scan with thread, as we did, or would it be different, the experience, if we started with blue or with green?
That's a very good question. It's easier to perceive the stronger, as the stronger the system is, it's easier to perceive it. So it's easier to get in touch first with the red one, then with the blue one, and last with the green one, because that's the inner intensity. So I don't know, we might experiment it. We use that because it's easier, and as we start recognizing the most easily noticeable ones, like the red and the other, we then kind of start getting in touch with the less noticeable, like the green one. But that would be my take.
Do you know any research about starting with red, with blue?
No.
Because,
But I think that's a good thing to experiment with. In fact,
since all the emotional systems are attractors, if you start with one and you assume it's the stronger one, then the activation of the other attractors is conditioned and limited by the activation of the alarm system or red system or the red system. So I imagine one may have differences in scanning depending on which is the color you start with. But what I
also I have an idea. So maybe you can add a question to ask him among the three which one is the stronger, and then start from it. And it could be, it shouldn't be, sometimes it could be not the red one.
Could be that, or.
Or depending what are you working on. If it is more like something that we want to accomplish, you start with blue, because that's the one that is related to what we were talking, or I don't know.
So, and the second one would be, how could we apply this in a coaching meeting?
In my own experience, I don't know, and I would love to hear that. My own experience, when going through the well-being game, I invited some of my customers, or I have invited some of my customers to do this breathe, because as you get used to this, it's faster, but just to get in touch with that, with a fast emotional check-in. And then it's easier to respond, and because it's not that anything is right or wrong or the better, the most activated, the better. It's just to notice how well balanced, how balanced are things, because that is the one, I mean, and knowing that balance level and how it correlates with our own well-being, I think it's a powerful tool in that sense. But I think it's that. That's why it was interesting to me to take this. I mean, to put this on the table in this work, because I think anything that we can do there, we can learn from each other.
Thank you. Very interesting.
Gary?
Well, I'll say mine very quickly, and then I'll need to wrap up. For me, the link was my breath, which was a surprise for all of them. I used the inside check to look at where was energy moving, and the breath was different for each of the systems. So, thank you, Javier, very much for introducing this to us. I hope we all have a chance to try it personally or with clients or students and reap the benefits of the learning. So thank you very much for bringing this to us, Javier. And thank you, everyone, for being engaged. Alfonso, but I just want to say before Iran goes, that Iran, wave your hand, is our next presenter. Wave your hand, Iran. Say hi, Iran. Hello, yes.
Thank you. We know.
That is our presenter next time, and the topic is Tantric Principles for Coaching Mastery.
We know this guy.
Alfonso, you had one more thought.
Yeah,
no, not now.
Do you find any relationship between processing the results game and the blue system and processing the well-being game and the maybe the green or probably the green system?
I think I don't have the... Personally, I don't have the amount of experience or the points of, I mean, to be able to answer that. What I have noticed, though, is that the more regulated, the highest well-being gain scores. Because it's not, I mean, if someone declares that peacefulness is the state of well-being, which is good, but it's not that might not be seen isolated, because in life we are all exposed to many things, to threats, to things to do, etc. So the thing is how I connect with peacefulness within the actual living world, and that takes us to a balanced emotional systems.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Very, very interesting.
Well,
muchas gracias.
No, un placer. Thank you very much. Nice to
Thank
see you.
Thank you, Javier.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, everyone.
May you all return to balance again and again and again until we see each other again and again and again.
May you all go green.
We'll be strong with you.
May be all green.
Be real balance.
Thank you, Javier.
Maybe you green, but not from envy.
Thank you. Have a nice day.
Thank you very much, Javier. Thank you.
Bye.
Wonderful.
Bye.
Kapara Alejandro.